Welcome to the radio broadcast of Mount Calvary Baptist Church. Your Bible teacher today is Pastor Jesse Wagoner.
Now, I know that this message, this verse could fit just as easily on Father's Day as it does Mother's Day, because it's honor your father and mother. But we're going to look at it today. As a matter of fact, it fits into any day, because this is not located in just a particular time frame, but this is God's standard. And to think about this, when you think about it, you might seem somewhat surprised. I mean, after all, the first four of the Ten Commandments are very weighty things, you know. Have no other gods before me. Don't make graven images. Don't take the Lord's name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day. And then you come to 6 through 10, it's this great list that's right there in front of you, where he says that we are not to murder, commit adultery, do not steal, do not bear false witness, do not covet. All those are very weighty things. But right in the middle, he says, honor your father and your mother. It's a very strong value to God. And if it is to him, we need to think about it. I just want to talk this morning about what does that mean? We're not unfamiliar with that verse, to honor your father and mother, but exactly what does it mean to honor your father and mother? And I want to use a number of different scriptures today, and they're not listed in your notes. You can jot them as we go along. I just have sort of the bare outline in your notes if you use them. If not, there's a lot of blank space on the back of that sheet. You can just fill in whatever you deem appropriate. But honor your father and mother. First of all, let's talk about how we explain that. Explaining honor. Honor your parents. Explaining exactly what that means. And as I think about it, I've got some, as I said, some other verses of Scripture I will bring to bear into this. But I just want to share four brief ideas, and then we'll talk about the next section. But what it means to give honor. First of all, honor by default and by virtue of its essence is personal. Honor is personal. It goes from person to person. When he says in this verse, honor your father, honor your mother, those are people that we should immediately be able to identify. It's connected to person. Sometimes we talk about honor in non-personal ways. If you go to a ball game or some other sort of event, you might hear an announcement that says something like this: in order to honor America, we'll all stand and we will sing the national anthem together. Well, yes, we honor a country, but what do we honor? Do we honor just a particular geographic location? Well, it is that. Do we honor a system of government and a system of values? Well, it is that. But above and beyond it all, it is the people. It always comes back to the people component. Honor your father and mother. It is very, very personal. And we see this in the Bible. There's a verse that's found in Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 4, where it's talking about when Aaron was called to be the high priest. It says, no one takes this honor upon himself. He must be called by God, just as Aaron was. That was the high priest filling that role. And if we could expand that, honor is not something that is this directional, but it is others directional. And it is something that always is attached to a person. I'm well aware that on this day that we have, but in our culture, there's nothing commanded in Scripture that you celebrate a Mother's Day. But on this day, as we as a culture and we as a people have decided to do this, I understand that in a group this size, this means in a lot of different things to a lot of different people and lots of different emotions and a lot of different feelings. For some, it is a very joyous day. It's a day just filled with celebrations. For some of us, it's a day that we're reminded of loss because maybe that dear one in our life is no longer with us. Or maybe that loss has been recent. Or maybe it's something that that someone desires to have children, and for whatever reason, God has to this point not allowed that. Or it might be that in your growing up years, you didn't have the picture postcard kind of family life that we dream about. There's some who grew up in homes that were more dysfunction than function. Some of us grew up in homes where there were parents who were absent. Or maybe they were there, but they were absent emotionally, or they were not exactly spiritual leaders in the things of the Lord. So it means a lot of different things to a lot of different people. And even though this is a joyous day, but in some ways it's a day that is a very much mixed emotions. But here is the command. We are to personally direct our honor to individuals of special place in our life. And he says, honor your father and your mother. Well, we'll talk more about how we do that, but we do that first and foremost because it is God's command. Maybe that you could imagine it could run through someone's mind. Well, if you knew the parents I were, or my parents weren't there, or my parents were whatever. We do it because there is one gift that your parents gave you that is undeniable. And if you were blessed, they gave you many more gifts than this. But God used that father and that mother to bring you into this world of existence. And to think about the wonder of that, we understand from the pages of Scripture, and we understand from what we understand of reality and creation, that every person that is ever conceived will exist for all eternity. Now, the disposition of where they spend that and the conditions and so forth, we understand. That's why we preach and proclaim the gospel. But an eternal existence. God gave you a gift of life and a gift eternality. Therefore, honor them, because that is, above all things, the greatest gift they've given. But it also means this. Not only does it mean personal, but also honor is seen in the giving of preference. Of giving of preference. Of putting that person before yourself. To giving that person a special place. There's a verse that's found in Romans chapter 12 and verse 10. Where, frankly, Paul, under the inspiration of Scripture, expands this way beyond just the family situation. And in Romans chapter 12, verse 10, he says this, honor one another above yourselves. That means there's a conscious effort to, in your thinking, if you honor somebody, to put that person in a place that is a place that we sometimes tend to occupy. You have to choose to honor others and to put them in that place of specialness in your heart and your attention and your mind. It's interesting that God also talks about honor that is due Him. 1 Samuel chapter 2, 30 talks about those who honor me, I will honor. That we put God in that understanding of preference. We give Him first place. Again, it is not related to performance. It is not related to presence or absence. It's not related to how well it was done. And you have to understand, your parents were not perfect. If you're a parent, you're not perfect either. I think I finally figured this out. You know, you enter into parenthood with absolutely no practical skills. Now, maybe you learned a few things about childcare, but you start at a real deficit. And I figured out, about the time you really learn how to be a parent, about the time you really reach your competency as a parent is about the same day you're waving them goodbye when they're leaving the house, you know, to start their lives together. That's when you really start to feel competent as a parent. And you have to understand that we're all works in progress, but you give them preference of saying, I honor you above me. And that's what we try to do this day. And frankly, that's what we try to do every day. Thirdly, honor is related to position. Honor your father and your mother. That's the position that they possess, and that will never, ever change. We honor position. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 17, Peter writes this, show proper respect to everyone, love the brotherhood of believers, fear God, honor the king. That last part of that verse is rather interesting, honor the king. Well, in Peter's day, the king was not too popular, particularly if you were a follower of Christ, and secondly, if you were Jewish, because both of those groups were being persecuted by the king over in Rome, the Caesar of the Roman Empire. But he says, give honor because the position is one that God has allowed. Those that have been through the military or serve in the military probably have an advantage over the rest of us. If someone walks by that has more stripes on their uniform than you do, you are expected to stop and you salute. To give honor to that superior position that they hold. Regardless of whether you think they're a good officer or a bad officer or whatever, you give honor because of the position. In essence, God is telling us that we are to do these things, to love the brotherhood of believers, to fear God, to honor the king, that we need to give others this deference of position because it's what God expects. In essence, everyone in our lives has more stripes on his uniform than we have. If we could say it that way. And of the people in our lives, our mother, our father, our parents deserve that sort of treatment because of the position they held. It's not about their performance. It's not about good, bad, or indifferent. It's about the special role that they play. And God is honored by that. God honors that. He expects us to be involved in that because he understands that when he brought together Adam and Eve and from them comes the children of which we are the descendants, it was the family unit that he put together as the incubator for human society and the humankind. This was his perfect plan. It is what he sought to have as the norm of our existence as we grow to maturity. This is what he desired to have, and those that have that position are worthy of our honor. God takes it very seriously, in fact. There's a verse found in Exodus 21, verse 17. Exodus 21, 17. And this sounds harsh, I know. But it said, anyone who curses his father or mother must be put to death. Sometimes it would be unimaginable to think that cursing your parents would be a capital offense, but it was in their day. And God brought it to the level of the Ten Commandments. It was a serious, serious, serious thing. So honor is related to position that someone holds. And then lastly, in this section, honor has to be practical. It has to be practical. Honor relates to that which is practical. It needs to be more than just talking about it. God expects this in our relationship with him. In Isaiah 29:13, these people come near me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. He says they're saying the right things, but they're not feeling the right things, and certainly they're not doing the right things. And God was rightly offended by that. So if we're going to honor our parents, it has to be very practical. It has to be extended into the realities of where we are. And sometimes when we extend honor, we think sometimes that we have this tendency sometimes to misevaluate what our parents went through to raise us. I remember when I was growing up that and it wasn't just my mother, and she's in the room, so I'll be very careful. But the mothers that all my friends had, we kind of laughed about this at the time. When we were warned about the crazy things we did as youngsters, it seemed like we always thought, there's only two injuries that mothers thought you could have. One was they thought you were going to put your eye out. Don't run with scissors, you're going to put your eye out. Don't beat each other with sharp sticks, you're going to put your eye out. Don't play with a BB gun, you're going to put your eye out. The other injury that was only possible in childhood was you're going to break your neck. Get out of that tree, or you're going to break your neck. Don't ride your bicycle without holding the handlebars, you're going to break your neck. Don't wrestle like that in the backyard, you're going to break your neck. I never knew anybody that had a broken neck or put their eye out, fortunately. I'm sure it probably happened, But now that I'm not only a father, but a grandfather, I'll admit this, when the grandchildren are coming, the oldest one is 5, so we have 6 grandchildren under the age of 5, and another one on the way in October, so that's a blessing coming up. But when they're coming, now we try to childproof the house, but we do it a little more identifiable with the child's coming. It's time to ivy-proof the house. It's time to hunter-proof the house. It's time to Benaiah-proof the house, because we don't want them getting hurt. So the things that are breakable, the things they can pull over on themselves, there's a couple rooms that the door just gets shut and locked, okay? We don't want you in there. That's the death trap right there, so lock that up. And suddenly I've become my parents. Because sometimes we judge them harshly, and then it takes some maturity to figure out that they really had our best interest in mind. And we extend honor in that regard because of the practicality of what they were trying to do for us. This is a paraphrase. Mark Twain wrote something to the effect of said, when he was about 12 years old, he looked at his father and said, my father was the most ignorant man I ever saw on the planet. He said, by the time I became 25, it was amazing how much that man had learned. It's all about perspective, isn't it? And we extend honor to these that loved us enough to engage in the arena of trying to keep us from putting our eyes out, breaking our necks, or other tragedies that could befall us, and try to make us into the adults that we are. Let's talk now about extending honor. How do you extend honor? Let's be a little more direct in how we put this into place. And I want to break this into three categories, depending on age and where you are in the stage of life. It says, honor your father and mother. Now, there's no expiration date on that verse there in Exodus 20. There is no expiration date. And I understand that some of us are here today and our mothers and our fathers, or maybe both, have already departed. And we don't have these practical ways to extend our love. But I want to encourage you today, somewhere, just find your opportunity to thank God and to honor your parents by offering a prayer of thanks for them in your life. And thank Him for His choice and His arrangement. And that goes so much to be who you are. Let's talk about being young. Giving honor when you're young comes through obedience. It comes through obedience. And this would be children that are still living in the home, or as we have said it to our children, if you're under our roof, that was kind of our designation to mean you do it our way. But there is this thing of obedience. And I want to take you to a very familiar passage. It's found in Ephesians chapter 6. And interestingly, in Ephesians chapter 6, the Apostle Paul, in these three verses, verses 1, 2, and 3, he actually quotes from Exodus chapter 20, that one of the Ten Commandments about obeying your parents or honoring your parents. Verse 1, chapter 6, Ephesians. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Not deserving, not if it makes sense, not if it makes you happy, not if it doesn't cramp your style. You do it because it's right. So if you are still under the authority of your parents and living at home, this is what God asks you to do. And this is how you honor your parents. You obey them. And then verse 2, honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. Interesting, the first commandment with promise. The first of the Ten Commandments that includes a promise. Now, the promise stated specifically in Exodus 20 was a promise to those who were now on their way to the promised land. He said, you'll inherit that land and live long in that land. Because now Paul is writing to New Testament believers. He sort of gives it a little bit of a different flavor, but still saying the same thing. Which is the first commandment with promise, verse 3, that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth, wherever you live, even if you're not a descendant of Abraham indwelling that land of promise. And it says that it may be well with you. I would love those words to be attached to me. Wouldn't you love them to be attached to you? How you doing? It's well with me. You want to be well with you? He ties it back to particularly children in this stage of life. You want to be well with you? You obey your parents. It doesn't always have to make sense. It doesn't do that sort of thing. It's in the Lord. This is part of His plan. When mom and dad say, we want you at home by 11 p.m., that means you're home by 11 p.m., even if everybody else on the planet gets to stay out till much later than that, okay? So it's as simple as that. So obedience. God loves obedience. God is honored by obedience. And God, as He sets up this reality that you will honor Him through honoring His arrangement of the family, we honor God by honoring our parents. Secondly, giving honor as we mature comes through living righteously, through righteous living. There is that day when we are, in essence, out from under our parents' authority. Oftentimes that's when marriage and we start a family of our own, or we have left the home and are caring for our own way, or as we were always anxious to say, when you're paying your own bills. When you're on your own, then there's another way to honor your parents. I want to take you to a couple of verses that are found in Proverbs 23. And as I was working on some of this week, these verses just, I know I've read them before, and I know I've thought about them before, but they sort of kind of took on a whole new meaning thinking about this. It says there in Proverbs 23, I'm going to read verses 24 and 25. The father of the righteous will greatly rejoice. And he who begets a wise child will delight in him. Honor your parents. Live the right way. It is not stated in these verses, but if you want to dishonor your parents, live the wrong way. It's as simple as that. We understand this is how this works. As we go forward in verse 25, it says, may they rejoice. I'm going to read the verse to you. Let your father and mother be glad, and let her who bore you rejoice. You want your mother to rejoice? you live in a way that's pleasing to God. Because a righteous, godly mother knows and a father knows, if you're living in accordance with God's ways, you're going to be blessed. That doesn't mean your life's going to be always easy or perfect, but that's the path of blessing. The opposite is also true. That's why it is so important for us as parents to be active in bringing our children and living before them a life that reflects righteousness. The old saying is so true. Our life, our influence is much more caught than it's taught. You will find as you grow older, you become more like your parents all the time. And if you're married, just ask your spouse and they will confirm that is the fact. That influence goes on and that will outlive us. There's an old proverb. This is not a biblical proverb, but this is a proverb. And I hesitate to tell you this because you're going to remember this and not remember anything else I said, because you're going to remember this. There's an old proverb that says, be very nice to your children because they will pick out your nursing home someday. There's some truth to that. And if I could expand that, you know, the roles are going to reverse at some point. We'll talk about that here in just a moment. But the influence you put in. Now, you see on the screen, righteous living. Let me just take a moment and tell you the first step to righteous living. And that is to have the righteousness of Christ applied to you through salvation. It's not just, I'm going to live differently, and I'm going to please my parents. As good as that is, you'll never ever get there without the help of God and becoming one of God's children through faith in Christ. And what we are called to tell you from the Word of God is yes, a different life is a wonderful thing, but you'll only get there by being rightly related to the Heavenly Father. And here's what He's done for you. He knew that we could not save ourselves because we've all deviated from His path. We've all sinned. And sin brings upon it its inevitable judgment and ultimate judgment of death and eternal death. But Jesus Christ, when He died on the cross, paid that price. Now He invites us to simply do this, not work, not earn, not gain, not try, but He invites us to believe in that. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. All He invites you to do is put your faith, your confidence, your trust in the fact that He died for you and trust in that for your eternal salvation. He promises that He will forgive you. He will come in and live in you. He will begin the process of changing you, not from the outside in, but from the inside out, and He will provide a home for you in the Father's house for all eternity. Have you trusted in Him as your Savior? If not, this Mother's Day would be a great day to do that. If you need some help, if at the end of this service, Pastor Adam and Pastor Tim will be here at the front. You just feel free to come right here and talk to them and say, you know what Pastor's talking about, being saved, being right with God, however you want to put it, they'll know what you're talking about. Would you help me with that? Help me understand that. Would you pray with me? I have a question. They'll be able to open the Word of God and answer your questions from God's Word, not from our opinion. If you're not saved this morning, that might be the most important thing that we could ever talk about today. And that's the most needful thing if you need the Lord. And then as we have come to know the Lord, then we try to order our life in a righteous way. Lastly, the last way I want to talk about giving honor is this third category of life. Giving honor when our parents are aged comes through giving care. If your parents live long enough and you're still around, There usually comes that moment in life where they need more care as the age sets in. And sometimes the roles reverse. And it's an interesting time in life because you have all the responsibility and all the concern, but you have not quite as much leverage as you did when you were raising your children, okay? So it takes even more creativity and more stamina. And some of you right now, that's your stage in life. You're entering or you're in the active care for your parents. If you are, I say, God bless you. You're doing God's work, included in the Ten Commandments to honor your father and mother. Some of you have already completed that task and your parents have been called home. But you gave big chunks of your life and your heart and your money to make sure that an aged, elderly mother and father had all the care you could give them. That's part of God's work. In fact, God talks about it. I want to take you to 1 Timothy chapter 5 for just a moment. And Paul is telling Timothy some instructions on how to order the church. And there were people who were so destitute they didn't have any family to take care of them, and the church would then step in and help, make sure they had food and what they needed and so forth. But he also puts into this equation, and I'm in 1 Timothy chapter 5, beginning at verse 3. He says, honor widows who are really widows. But if any widow has children or grandchildren, let them first learn to show piety at home and repay their parents, for this is good and acceptable before God. See, this is not optional. This is how we should do. Look at verse 8. But if anyone does not provide for his own, and especially for those of his household, he is denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. In other words, what he's saying is, even unbelievers take care of their own family, and we in the family of God need to do the same. As I said, that needs to be done with care and with heart and with all that we could do. And sometimes that may mean taking them in to live in your home, or maybe going to their place and helping with the needs they have. Sometimes it means professional help in a facility or something when the care gets to the point that's beyond what we have the capacity to do, but making sure that that care is provided. Sometimes at that stage there are no easy answers, but we have the God and the person of the Holy Spirit to guide us and the power of Christ to help us through those difficult days. Because, as I said earlier, there is no expiration date on God's command to honor your father and mother. I've given you a few things to think about this morning about what honor means and a few ideas cast at you to say this is some practical way how we extend honor. The great news is, in your own family, there's opportunities to do so. Beyond your own family, there's a multitude of opportunities. We understand that there are sometimes people who bring their children to us as a church. In essence, they're saying, here, you teach them something spiritually, but mom and dad aren't participating in the life of the church. What do? We do our best to try to influence those children for the cause of Christ. And sometimes that means people like you have stepped in to care and to love and to nurture. God bless those that serve in that capacity. We know it would be far better if the parents were involved in the process. That's God's best. But we can step in and you can be that person. Maybe it's just the little boy, little girl lives down the street in your neighborhood that needs an adult to stop and ask them their name and ask them what they're interested in, to give them your time and attention. You know, sometimes the greatest gift that we can give of honor is just being there for people. Some of us have learned the fine art. I think I have, and I need to get over it. The fine art of acting like you're talking to somebody and really paying attention, but your mind drifts off to somewhere off, you know, way over. But to actually just listen and actually be there and actually give someone the gift of your attention and your concern in life. There's always and ever the opportunity to give honor in every venue of life. That being the case, let me just say it this way with two simple words. May God help us to always honor those that are around us in life and the people He's given us special. Trust you'll have a great day as whatever capacity, whatever opportunity you give to honor those in your life. Would you join me in prayer? Father, we thank You for the opportunity to think about this very simple command that makes your top 10 list of commands, to honor your father and mother. Help us to do that. Lord, some of us, our parents are no longer with us, but we pause to give You thanks for those that gave us life. Lord, this is a difficult day for many because of the situations of years in life, but we pray You'll give grace and strength. But Father, help us to honor You by obeying Your command to honor these of special place, special preference, special role in our lives. May You be blessed as we do. And Lord, if there be anyone in our midst that does not know You as Savior, may You help them to understand the significance, the need, the fact that this is not optional to come to know the Lord Jesus as their Savior. May You just be at work in that heart, we pray. In Christ's name, amen.
You've been listening to the radio broadcast of Mount Calvary Baptist Church in Charleston. Mount Calvary Baptist Church is located at 1509 Bigley Avenue in Charleston, West Virginia. Worship services are at 9 a.m., 11, and 6 p.m. For more information, contact calvarywv.com.